This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married
goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
I think China is a very special situation, and I think President Trump is working hard to defend the American economy against unfair trading practices and unlawful trading practices and intellectual property theft and forced transfer of technology and so forth. China is a very special case, and we have to defend American interests, whether it's farming or manufacturing or automobiles or technology.
Larry Kudlow reacting to the impact of China on the American economy, and some people panicking last week, some people considering what the recession, how soon it might hit us, and throwing that R word out quite a bit. Larry Kudlow had gone on to say there's no recession on the horizon. So let's talk to one of his colleagues and see what he thinks. Stephen Moore of the Heritage Foundation joins us now, author of Trumponomics, Inside the America First Plan to Revive Our Economy. Stephen, great to have you on again today.
Hi, Annie. Great to be with you. And I agree with Larry Kudlow. There is no recession on the horizon. The economy is still really strong. We have the best economy in the industrialized world right now. And we still have, you know, something like 7.5 million surplus jobs in this country. So the idea that we really have, falling off of a cliff, I just don't see it. I think that's wishful thinking by a lot of Trump's detractors.
Stephen, do you think that this is what me, being someone who knows enough only to be dangerous, talking economics, unless I'm talking with you, of course, but I hear a lot of people suggesting that people are shifting their confidence away from the short term into the long term. How do you feel about that?
Well, we have something now called the inverted yield curve, and that's just a fancy term for saying that the long-term interest rates are almost as low as the short-term rates. By the way, isn't it a wonderful thing we have these low rates? You can, I don't know about Missouri, but in a lot of areas of the country, you can get a 30-year mortgage now for a 3.5% interest rate. Mm-hmm. And now, how beautiful is that? So I love these low rates. I love what we got the lowest unemployment rate, lowest inflation rate, and lowest interest rates in like 40 years. And people are saying like, well, it's the end of the world. Look, Larry Kudlow's right. We got to get this trade deal done with China. And Larry's right that Trump is fighting the good fight here. But ultimately, I think you are going to see a deal, because it's in both countries' interests. China needs a deal, too. And when that happens, I think you're going to see really, really strong growth in 2020.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, we had heard that there were going to be more tariffs placed on September 1st. Those got postponed to maybe December-ish. If we get a deal done before that, what is this economy? Is it going to immediately react to the handshake?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it will. And it will almost immediately, and you'll see the stock market react. You know, I mean, we'll have Dow 30,000 once we get you know, right now the Dow's at 26,000. It's gonna go up a lot once the trade deal is done. And I'm not trying to sugarcoat this, Eddie. This is tough sledding, because the Chinese are now the Beijing government is run by a bunch of, you know, hardline communists, basically. Yeah. And, you know, so they're moving in the wrong direction. And Trump, thank God we got Trump there fighting against these. You know, they may move their troops into Hong Kong, for goodness sakes. I mean, this is a really dangerous situation, and they are no longer a friendly power. They are an adversary and an enemy. And, you know, I call them China, Communist China again, because I think that's where they're at.
So regarding China, I'm assuming that a bad deal is way worse than no deal.
Well, that's a good question. I happen to think that, well, first of all, we don't want Trump to capitulate. If Trump backs down, you know, that's the worst of all deals, because that actually, you know, only emboldens Chinese to, you know, and it only encourages their bad behavior. So I agree with that. But look, Trump isn't going to get everything he wants in this deal, and you know, he shouldn't hold out for that. My opinion is a decent deal, a decent one, not a bad deal, but a decent deal, where we get some of what we want, would make sense. Because then what I've advised the president, and I've talked to Trump about this, is, you know, get a deal, you know, the best deal you can right now, and then when you get reelected, and he will get reelected once you get the trade deal, then you can spend your second term really hitting China hard, which is what he should do.
We're speaking with Stephen Moore of the Heritage Foundation. He's the chief economist there, also author of a book, Trumponomics, Inside the America's First Plan to Revive Our Economy. You speak to the president on economic issues. You work with the president to advise him, along with Larry Kudlow, at times on things he should do and shouldn't do. Do you feel as though this president has a firm grasp on the decisions he's making, why he's making them, and the long term of this American economy?
Yeah, I do. I mean, that's why we elected the guy, right? He's a businessman. He knows how to make a payroll. He knows how to, you know, how businesses work. And, you know, that's not something most politicians have any, you know, knowledge of. I mean, just listen to the Democrats on the stage. I mean, they're completely clueless when it comes to business and the economy and finance. And so, look, I don't always agree with Donald Trump, Annie. I mean, sometimes he makes decisions I disagree with, but he certainly always has the American worker and the American businesses, you know, first and foremost in his mind. And, you know, that's what putting America first is all about. So, yeah, I'm reassured that we have somebody who's a successful entrepreneur and businessman running our economy. I think it's a great thing. And I think, you know, I think most American, that's why he's going to win, by the way. I mean, are they really going to turn over? Are we going to turn over the economy to, you know, somebody like Kamala Harris or Elizabeth Warren, who's never run anything in their whole life?
Yeah. I just don't. The difference between the two and their economic plans is so stark. To think that if there are individuals out there who don't personally maybe like the decisions, the way he phrases things from time to time, if the alternative is socialism, I don't see that winning in this country.
I think that's a great point. You know, I run to a lot of, because I give a lot of talks about Trump and, you know, to investment groups and business groups. And, like, a lot of people don't like some of the language that he uses or some of his behavior, but you got to love his results. You know? Mm-hmm. And people will concede, you know, look, I don't always agree with Donald Trump on this or that, but I love what he's doing for the economy. And, I mean, look, we've got, as I said, we've got the lowest black, Hispanic, female, you know, unemployment rate practically ever. You know, there's almost nothing to complain about in this economy right now. So, you know, it slowed down a little bit. We got the trade deal done. By the way, he's right about the Fed, too. The Fed needs to cut interest rates. And if those two things happen, I think it's going to be clean sailing. I think he's going to win a big reelection.
Well, Stephen Moore with the Heritage Foundation, author of Trumponomics. If you'd like to read more about how Stephen Moore helped contribute to this Trumponomics plan that is doing so well in our country, great to have you here. And thank you so much for the time with us there at Stephen Moore on Twitter. I just find there to be so much writing on this China thing. Like, not just the economy, not just, you know, the prices of goods. I know there are farmers all over the place who are waiting it out to get this righted, to making sure that we get something done for the country that's right for the country. And they're taking the punch. They're braced to take the punch or to continue taking this punch. And I hear it a lot. I hear it from farmers who I know personally. They support this president wholly, but we need to get it done fast. I want to shift to Bernie Sanders. Has come out with a prison reform plan. And every time I see one of these Democratic candidates come out with like a new platform, and I know it's crazy to think like, okay, how is this going to help me? It's never even close to helping me. Can you bullet point for us or whatever? How is Bernie Sanders going to make a difference in our country, in our communities, with his prison reform bill?
It's a lot. Even the bullet points are a lot. He says he wants, because, I mean, he says he wants to completely overhaul and reform every aspect of America's dysfunctional criminal justice system all the way down to everything that we do in our prisons and the way police operate. I mean, it's, I'll give you some of the bullet points. He wants to end for-profit prisons. He wants to ban cash bail.
So we're going to nationalize and taxpayer fund every prison. Okay,
every prison, correct.
That's tax dollars, cha-ching.
Ban cash bail and civil asset forfeiture. I'm all for banning civil asset forfeiture, by the way. Increase the number of public defenders and funding for them to better serve certain communities. Enact a prisoner bill of rights for incarcerated people that include, rights to a living wage and educational training, as well as the right to vote. So you can make money, go to school, and vote while you're in prison. He wants to change the way policing works by creating an unarmed civilian corps of first responders that would respond to low-level issues like homelessness and mental health issues.
Time out!
How'd you like to be on that?
Homeless!
Unarmed civilian.
And mental health. Here, we're going to need you to go take care of this. They are probably strung out. They have nothing to lose in life. And you need to go take care of them, but you can't arm yourself. What? What? Who's doing this?
Who's signing up?
You know who is doing this? Somebody in Bernie Sanders America, where the government takes over everything because they're going to provide everything, including your personal protection that will show up after said homeless person or mental health, someone who has a mental health issue is going to act in a way that mentally challenged people, can I say that, that they do. That's insanity. And then you're going to put him in a federalized prison system that, oh, we run so many things so well on a national scale. That blows my mind. Unarmed?
Civilians.
Crazy.
Reduce the number of incidents of excessive police force by creating national standards for police that emphasize de-escalation rather than violence.
Wait, what?
That,
who is emphasizing violence instead of de-escalation in his assertion?
Police.
Police? Say that line one more time, just so I can soak every syllable.
Reduce the number of incidents of excessive police force by creating national standards for police that emphasize de-escalation rather than violence.
I don't know a police officer whose job it is to escalate the situation. Whose life is at stake? De-escalation is the point. I can tell you that from officiating volleyball, which is like the hair on the head of any type of law enforcement. It's like you're there to enforce the rules, but you can take a hike if you want to, and you don't have to do any of it. It's not a job in that sense. But your whole point being there is to make sure that the rules are followed and to keep everything as calm as you possibly can. What police officers out there, as a standard, are not doing that? How offensive! Bernie Sanders is going to solve everything. Is there more?
Yes.
Let's talk about it when we come back.
All right.
There's more. I got to cool
more.
Off.
There's
and
more.
I'd love to hear what you think about this.
There's more bullet points.
Bernie Sanders reforming the everything judicial system, prison reform, law enforcement procedures. He's got all the answers. And guess what? Chances are when you hear this, instead of thinking, how is this going to help me as a tax-paying American citizen, it's going to make you mad. I still want you to listen. Don't go anywhere. I'll make you happy when it's done, I promise. Another interesting conversation we're going to have, too, here at 1:40 is with Derek Keith. He is a trustee for the Collinsville Township. And I know that this sounds like super hyper-local, but we have got some sound from this township meeting that blows me away, and it's just as Illinois as anything I could come up with. And so Derek Keith is going to give us a little bit of a microcosm of what I think a lot of us might be used to dealing with. So we'll talk to Derek Keith about 1:40. 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797. If you'd like to join us right now and react to Bernie Sanders saving the world, we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Bernie Sanders. I'm running for president.
For me. And I'm feeling good.
Just a little something to make you feel better than Bernie Sanders. Is it prison reform? I thought it was billed as prison reform, but that's talking about how we're going to be policing now in Bernie Sanders land.
Criminal justice overhaul.
Criminal justice overhaul. Always good when we get an overhaul.
Sounds neat.
So a couple of the things that you've mentioned already is getting the right to vote for inmates, making sure that they can earn a livable wage. What was the other one? It's like another perk of being a prisoner.
Let's see. It was, educational training. So,
hey, I got a question.
You make money, go to school, and get to vote.
Why wouldn't you, if you were homeless, why wouldn't you just do something to go to jail?
Right.
I mean, seriously.
That wouldn't work, though, because one of the other bullet points is to set the goal at cutting prison population in half.
It's going to double it.
So you give incentive to go to prison, and then we're like, eh, we're going to cut it. Never mind.
Let's get Scott on the phone here. Scott, thanks for calling the show.
Annie, I appreciate it. I listen to you every day.
And hey, Scott.
I consider myself a very strong conservative. I'm also a veteran. And the issue I have is I spent 4 years in federal prison over a nonviolent, non-drug-related charge.
Mm-hmm.
And it was involving the Enron situation that happened many years ago. And even though I chose to serve my country, just like the situation with legal and illegal guns, you got an illegal felon in Philadelphia that shot those six cops. But here it is. I have no chance to, unless there's a very small window or situation in which you can get your Second Amendment rights back.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't dare go near a weapon. I have to wonder if I'm walking in somebody's house, you know, and that will follow me the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Regardless if I did my 4 years, I did my 3 years paper, and I had to start all over from scratch. I got 34 cents a day to teach GED to hundreds of men so that they could get their GED while they were still in prison. So this crap about, you know, a living wage, this, that. They do run slave camps, basically. They got them in there putting together, you know, army.
Is he gone?
We lose him?
No. Are you still there?
Oh.
Scott, call back. I'm gonna drop the call here, but you can call back because I want to hear more about that, and I wanted to ask him questions about it. Serving four years in prison, I thought when I read that call that he was a federal prosecutor, and it said prisoner.
Well, that was
a very interesting. I wonder if he calls back.
Here's the thing: Scott brings up a point that there are things that can be fixed and worked on. Could you make a case that a guy like Scott should be able to get his voting rights and Second Amendment rights back? Sure.
Well, that's voting rights can be returned. That's a state.
That's a discussion I think is worth having. But when you just drop these blanket changes and say, here's how it's going to be, that's...
When you're talking about a criminal
it's not a healthy way to go.
Justice overhaul, Bernie Sanders here, is he not making... He's making the system the villain. When we're talking about people who are in prison, because they're villains. That's what they... I mean, I understand that people who go to prison have the ability to make something of that experience and come out. It might be the best thing that ever happens to them, to get them right, to be able to put them back into society and become contributing members. So I support that. I wish we could do more rehabilitation or more, I guess, education. I'm not opposed to doing that. I'm assuming he said he was teaching GEDs, which means people are getting GEDs. And if you come out of prison with a GED that you didn't have when you went in there, I'd think you would be better positioned to go back into society and contribute, which is the point, right?
Sure.
What else you got over there?
Abolish the death penalty. Abolish solitary confinement. Raise the age to charge children in adult courts to 18.
Wasn't Paul Manafort put in solitary confinement?
I don't know. That sounds, that does sound familiar.
I believe he was, yes.
Yeah,
I mean, familiar. It was like cruel and unusual punishment. You've got Manafort in solitary and Jeffrey Epstein getting bunk buddies that can go in there and make sure that he doesn't kill himself, except for those couple hours where he, in fact, killed himself. It's kind of funny to hear that Bernie would...
What if you have an inmate that is constantly attacking other inmates?
I would confine them solitarily. It's pretty easy.
Exactly my point. Legalize marijuana and expunge past marijuana convictions and set the goal at cutting prison population in half.
If we legalize marijuana federally, recreationally, smoke if you got them, do we need to expunge all those?
No, not all of them. Again, you can't just make these blanket statements. Are there some that should
possession
and could probably be expunged? Absolutely. But if there are violent acts attached to...
Mm-hmm. But I thought marijuana wasn't supposed to be tied to violent acts.
Oh, it could be. It could be, yeah.
Stealing a cigarette could be charged or could be tied to violent acts. I mean, of course there can be. That's why I'm saying you can't just put down these blanket statements. You have to look at the cases case by case, mm-hmm. and determine which ones. Yeah. You can't just say, here it is. Here's what we're changing it to.
And it's going to work.
What if it helps you get votes?
Well, yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's what exactly.
I think what we're saying here is you can just say it, but you're not going to be able to just do it.
Mm.
Because, if you are, gosh, how can you see, especially when it comes to the crimes against children, some of the things, I can't even read those stories. I know they exist. I can't invest my mama eyes and ears on those stories anymore. But how can you not think that that person just needs to not live anymore? If somebody has done something to a child, how do you stand in and defend that person when the other person's life was not defendable? I don't understand that. Mike, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Sure. Go ahead.
I was calling, you're talking about Bernie Sanders and the change to the criminal justice system and everything like that, but mm-hmm. I was curious if you knew about the state of Missouri effective August 27th, the law changed again that municipal codes and municipal courts are not allowed to have any penalty to assess for traffic crimes, stuff that goes through municipal court. A defendant can come, plead guilty, get assessed a fine, but if they do not pay that fine, the court does not have to the court cannot mail them a letter. The court cannot put them out warrants for that offense. The only thing the courts are allowed to do under the new law is send them to collections, which means nothing because the collections, they're not allowed to impose any penalties on their credit or anything like that. So basically, someone can just come, no punishment. They can come, plead guilty, get assessed a fine, and then walk away and never have to do anything about it.
Yeah. Thank you for the call, Mike. I appreciate it. And I've heard some reports on that. And I feel like we are constantly working to demonize a system. And it could be any kind of system. It could be a healthcare system. It could be an education system. It could be a law enforcement or criminal justice system. We want to create a boogeyman in the closet that is big, bad, and scary, so that we can create victims out of a whole bunch of people. And essentially the whole purpose of that is to garner votes. So that becomes very frustrating to me. I don't like the thought of people not having to face consequences for their actions. I have this conversation with my children. It's not every consequence is a bad consequence. There are good consequences. You make a decision, you make a choice. You can go left, you can go right. When you choose to go one way, you're going to have consequences for going that way. When you choose to go another way, there are going to be consequences for going the other way. And it is very important that when those kids make the decision to choose left or right or A or B or one or two, that the consequences that come from those decisions, they have to feel and bear. Because if they don't, then they will never understand why they need to think and process the decisions that face them, the choices that they have, the opportunities that they have. So we try to manipulate systems and explain away consequences as if those consequences have no connection to the person who's enduring them whatsoever. And then we create a consequence-less society. That's not going to make community better for you or for me or for the people who were like Scott who called in, who have been in federal prison for 4 years and served his time, like you said, and he came back into society and is, for all intents and purposes, seems to be a contributing member of society. He bore the burden of those consequences and has made a decision afterwards to be contributing and straight. So I don't understand why we want to villainize the people who are trying to make sure that the consequences of people's actions are followed through with in a rightful way, especially when that means that somebody else, based on the actions chosen by an individual person, have given other people or have taken away another person's opportunity to choose what happens next in their life. That's when government's supposed to get involved, when what you decide to do infiltrates on what the person in the car in front of you is able to do, or if you're sitting in a cubicle and the person in the cubicle next to you, you guys are free to do whatever you want, but the second that you start infringing on each other's rights to be able to go about your life and do your thing, that's when government has to get involved. If it's a legal matter or if it's in your office, that's probably when the management gets involved. But we cannot be constantly ironing out every wrinkle when that wrinkle is a consequence for an action we've chosen to be involved in. Let's take a quick break. 314-241-9797. I want to continue to take some phone calls on this, but I'm also going to talk in about 5 minutes here with Derek Keith. He's a trustee for Collinsville Township, and I want to bring this to your attention, not just for you if you live in Collinsville, but for the greater area that's listening right now, to understand the absolute enormity of financial irresponsibility that we can have in our local governments and how that can affect us all. So Derek Keith is going to talk to us about some experiences he has had lately in these township meetings. You will be blown away. And the question I'd have for you is, what is your municipality doing? What is your township doing? You might, after hearing this, want to check it out. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Is what we are bringing in, the township are bringing in, mostly from the citizens and tax.
Property tax. Correct.
99%.
Okay. Right.
$1,250,000. But we're budgeting to spend $2,310,000, over $1 million higher than that. Now, I know you're not the one. You're not the one. You're just answering the question.
Yeah, I'm a numbers guy.
Right.
And so don't ask me policy or anything like that.
And so as a board, do you guys agree with the numbers that we just discussed? That we are budgeting to spend over $1 million more than what we're bringing in. We'll start with there. So I guess my next question is, I don't know if they just don't want to answer or discuss. So my point is, we'll stay on this. A regular person, if we're making $50,000 a year, we don't budget to spend $100,000. That is reckless. We are put in place by the taxpayers to not be reckless and to not do things that other governments have done in the past and to make Illinois and this township better.
You would think, Derek Keith, as he is taking on the township meetings that are happening in Collinsville, and I'd ask you, what is going on in your municipality right now? I don't care which side of the river you're on. What kind of budget do they have? What are they spending? What are they taking in? And when you consider the fact that there's a million, what they say, they take in a million, like 1.25 million or something like that, but they're going to spend over a million. That is a high percentage of overspending. Good grief. It really blows my mind. I saw this circulating quite a bit on Facebook, and that's why I had to get Derek Keith on with us right now, trustee for Collinsville Township. Derek, great to have you on today, and thank you for the transparency that you're bringing to these local meetings.
Well, I want to thank you for just reaching out. I guess you saw it on Facebook.
Yep.
And that's one of the problems in Illinois and local governments is nobody really knows what's going on. And then every 4 years there's a vote and hardly nobody shows up. And I didn't think that I was going to get involved with this mess, but it's I cannot believe it. I mean, and then I get no answers, as you heard there in the video. I ask because I want to hear the other four trustees, you know, the other four side, and I get no answers, no nothing. And then later in the meeting, as you saw, we have a general assistance fund where 80% of the money is going to administration. It's not going to help people, help the poor, help the people in the heat. I don't know. It's mind-boggling, to be honest with you.
It is. And I think the thing that's great about it is that you're just throwing it out there. It's ugly. It's messy. It's not anything that people are going to watch and be like, well, look at my town go. But this is how you get to the point where you can have something that you were proud of out of your local government. So, of course, we have lots of people listening who aren't in the Collinsville area or who might not even know where Collinsville is. But the interest that I have in your story specifically is how you got to the point where you became a township trustee in the state of Illinois and in a township in Illinois. You saw this problem existing. And I guess, did you just get fed up and decide to throw your hat in the ring? How'd that happen?
Well, quite honestly, it's maybe a little bit different than others. I was in radio for a while, and I just wanted to do good for. I wanted to do good for the community, and to be honest, and I don't want this to sound bad or anything, but I thought Collinsville Township would be something fairly easy to do some good, and when I got in there, I was just appalled at what I was seeing, and then I came across in our budgets and our audits that they'd been overtaxing the citizens for many, many years, and they had these huge surpluses, which doesn't happen much in the state of Illinois. But the point is that's your money. That's my money. It's not the government's money. And so I was pushing to send a refund check. By law, that's what was suggested to do, send a refund check to all the taxpayers. And then that caused a lot of controversy. And so I believe that's why they want to overspend so much to get rid of this surplus and on things that aren't needed.
Man, I wish I had a surplus to go blow somewhere and get all this.
Yeah, that's not what we're supposed to be doing with
totally.
The taxpayer money, especially in Illinois. It's like I'm not on the county council. I'm not in, running for state, anything. But I'm on, the little old township, and that's my job to do good. Because they always say, well, these other places are bad. That's their excuse. The other places are bad. And I'm like, no, we're doing this. And so, the problem that I run into, Annie, is the other side, well, you're just being negative. I'm not being negative. I'm embarrassed, too, because I never knew it was like this. But we owe it to the citizens to do better.
Yeah.
And we have to get the story out there. And sometimes it is kind of, painful to take the Band-Aid off. But that's the only way things get better.
We're speaking with Derek Keith. He's the trustee, a trustee for the Collinsville Township. And there's a video circulating on social media right now that we will put up on our blog at 971talk.com/Annie shortly. And basically, Derek is, are you the one responsible for videoing these? Is that your idea or are they always videoed?
Yeah, no, when I first ran, I said that I was going to start videoing the meetings because I would go to a couple of meetings and there was nobody there. I mean, they'd have, a dog there and I was like, I can't believe this is like government. They're running. So I was
just
going
to film
the meetings.
Yeah.
Right. And so when I started doing that, you can just imagine, the pushback. I mean, this has been going on for about 2.5 years now and it's gotten really ugly where there's many times, and I will say this, I know why good people don't get involved with politics, because a lot of times you leave and you're like, why am I doing this?
Mm-hmm.
But somebody has to. And, I just wish that it was a better scenario. But I feel that exposing this and letting the public see the next election or where there will be a better outcome.
Well,
you know, things will get better.
Derek Keith, the trustee for Collinsville Township, speaking with us right now. I want to know what you say to those people who, and I hear them, they call in the show. If I meet, when I'm in Illinois and I'm at events, I meet them all the time. What can we do? What can we do? What can we do? And my my response is always to get involved. You've done this and you're saying it's strenuous. Is it still worth it for you?
Oh, no, absolutely. Because maybe I'm a little different, but I've told somebody they have lit the fuse. I mean, because I was just getting in this to do some good and to help. And, you know, so that they like I said, they've lit the fuse. I'm all in now, and I want to get some more people involved for the next election to make this right, because really that's the only way to change things. You got to get people in there that care, like, and act like it's their money. Like,
sure, because it is.
You know what I'm saying? It's your own money, right? And it's simple stuff. This is not hard to understand, but I do understand the other side is, and this is in all local governments, you know, there's a lot of jobs and friends and family, and then they try to say, oh, well, if he gets there, he'll fire everybody, or he'll eliminate my friend's job. No, that's not the case.
Yeah.
That's not, it's never about the employees, you know, for roads or wherever, municipality doing a bad job. It's really the board and the governing factor that's doing a poor job. And a lot, and not all municipalities are like that, but that's just the case that we have here.
Yeah, you're never going to not need people to fix roads. You're never going to not need public service workers. We absolutely need them. And I would say, even as a conservative myself, I would like to see a system where we get to pay public workers who do a really great job even more. I'm not opposed to you know, obviously subsidizing those people who are working for the public interest. It's a necessity. But as you said, you know, when you're taking in, when you have a surplus of tax income that belongs to the people of that municipality, and you're just frivolously spending it because you have it, that's not fiscally responsible to the people
No.
who are funding it in the first place. What kind of taxes were causing that extra money to come in, that surplus?
You know, I've only been on for 2.5 years. I can't exactly tell you, but I can just say that when I got on, you know, it was probably, you know, a couple hundred thousand here, a couple hundred thousand here year after year. And the same folks have been there for some 40 years. And that's what we were left with. And if nobody knew about it, well, it's no big deal. And so, again, it was a good problem to have. But now their remedy is just to go out and blow it all. And then they're spending money out of funds that are restricted, that can only be spent like general assistance to help people. Buying a new entranceway for our own township is not helping the poor people.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, and that's what boggles my mind. It really gets me going. So
yeah, once you've helped out those who are in real actual need, if the surplus still exists, then buy yourself a nice door.
Right, or just take it out of the general fund.
Sure.
You know, that's my thing. Take it out of the general fund. But the other point that I want to mention, is because you were talking about it, is I want the public to love Collinsville Township government, okay? I want the employees to be proud of where they work, okay? So when I point these things out, it's not to, you know, rip the government that I sit on the board. It's to want to make things better. And that's mm-hmm. what I pointed out to the other board members. I'm filming this to show the good that we're going to do, because
yeah.
we actually have done a lot of good. And I know you followed the thing that, you know, we dissolved the park district. I led that charge on CARD. And that was, now we're able to get PIP grant money that comes from the county, that goes to the senior center, also goes to the city of Collinsville. They just put in a whole new park out of Woodland Park. So there's some good things that are happening. And I want people to know that,
yeah.
you know.
Well, that's the reason you get involved in local government. Derek, if people want to connect with you, or if you think you have a place to recommend people go if they're interested in getting involved in anything in the state of Illinois, do you have any recommendations?
My Facebook page right now,
yeah.
it's local. You know, it's local, but, you know, you do a great job, Annie. And so I tell people all the time in Illinois, if you feel like you can't make a difference, I mean, you really can. It just takes one person telling their friend and just saying, no, you know, this isn't right. And mm-hmm. It's really not when it's local, Andy, you know this. It's not Republican or Democrat. It is not.
Yes.
It is just right or wrong.
Correct.
And so I just want them to start doing what's right.
Well, Derek, it's great to have you on here. Thank you for doing what you're doing, and thanks for the opportunity to chat.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. We'll talk to you again soon. Derek Keith, you can find him on Facebook, and we'll post that video. It's crazy. So he says, so we're budgeting, we've taken in $1.25 million, and we're budgeting to spend $2.something. A million more than we're taking in. That's a lot of money. Mm. Where is this coming from? I'm curious how much you've been paying attention to your local government. Hopefully enough. And if you want to get involved in something like that, reach out to the people in your community and figure out how you can. Make a difference. Talk to people about what's going on and know what's going on for sure. I've got phone calls to get to as soon as we return. So you join the show in the 2 o'clock hour, 314-241-9797. Steve, you're up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.